New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Welcome to the MMA Road Show. Episode number 354. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. And let me tell you where we're at. For the first time in my life, I've set my gaze upon the all-new Casa de Cole Coffee. And I'm telling you what, Cole Coffee, you're doing all right, man. You're moving up in the world. I mean, listen, the expansive grounds were a sight to behold. And I didn't know if you were going to be able to live up to that. Obviously, that's the standard had been set so high of the type of place that you were going to live. But, man, you're moving on up in the world. You're like the Jeffersons over here.
That's right. I got Louise. Where's my food? You know, it's something. And it's funny. It took a while to finally get the unboxing. You know, like just all that moving. I'm grateful for the people that helped out. And I'm so grateful that I finally got a couple guys to help move as well. But, man, just like unpacking and was just such a pain that I was like, man, you see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. You're like, I know this place is going to be great once it's finally all undone. Then I got sick. And then it was just like I lost all energy to finally like finish things. And finally, as I got better with that and finished things, and now to like now where for the most part it's all done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I dig it, man. I mean, granted, we don't have the pool in the back anymore. But in terms of like the housing's much newer. You know, I'm not having like as the old place had like. There were like bugs, old bugs in the neighborhood. So right. It's like it was just like you can't do anything about it. It was just it's there. They've been living there since like the nuclear testing or something. But like here, it's like I haven't had like any sort of like you know, bug problem. Like the house is newer. It
staff's all happy with your entrance. I mean, everybody's good.
You know, this is two levels here. You know, they like me are like, man, why do we have to climb up the stairs? You know, I find myself to go behind the curtain. I find myself sleeping on the couch. Sometimes
just because you don't want to walk upstairs. Oh my god, dude, that is the epitome of lazy right there, bro. That's something to strive to. I'm not even walking upstairs.
Because when you sleep in your bed, you always feel good. You know, like my bed. I mean, it's not like the newest fanciest bed, but
massive couch over there. Like, yeah. It looks like it'd actually be pretty comfortable.
It's pretty comfortable.
But that's still lazy, bro.
But it's so fucking lazy. I was like, you know, because when I sleep upstairs, I feel really good. But then there's some days, you know, because I'll watch TV at the end of the night, and then it's like one of those things where you sort of watching it, and then you fall asleep, and then you wake up, and you're like,
it's good right here.
I'm just good. I'm like, I could walk upstairs, I suppose, or I could just take this blanket and just lay right here.
See, when that happens to me, I have to go upstairs because if my wife wakes up in the morning and I've slept on the couch all night long, she's like, oh, really? You just passed out last
night?
She's
going to assume you passed out. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Because I've been there before. You wake up and you're like, it's pretty comfortable right now. I got this blanket on top of me right now.
Yeah, my
couch turns into like the recliner and everything, you know?
You got a nice little couch there.
But yeah, if I don't, she's just like, you passed out last night, didn't you? Yeah. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I just kind of felt like, so I have to go upstairs.
That's funny.
So is it feeling like home yet? I mean, dude, you were 10 years in the other place.
Oh man, you know, it's getting there. It's getting there. I like the different layout. You know, there were a lot of memories, good and bad, sort of the other place. So it was tough leaving, but honestly, it feels good to kind of start over.
Fresh
and
start.
Like the neighborhood's decent.
Yeah.
Had good views of the fireworks the other night. Like,
did you?
It's funny because I looked on the map. I don't even know where the hell those fireworks were coming from. But there was like a decent firework display. So I walked out front and saw fireworks, which is kind of like what I was able to do at the old place. But it does, man. It finally feels sort of comfortable. You know, I wake up and it's not like, wait, where the hell am I at anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I do like it. And in like, you know, it's super close to the Apex. It's super close to the UFC. It's not far from the freeways and stuff. So, yeah, it feels good. I think once I started cooking again. Because when I first moved in, I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. So I'd go eat. Once I started cooking, then I was like, okay, now spot. It feels like home, you know, because I'm actually making dinner and
I
stuff.
I dig it, man. It's
stuff,
nice. It's bright. It's big. It's airy, man.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. I like
that.
It. Yeah.
I appreciate that. You
did
know?
Well.
Thank you. It was, man, and it's funny because it was a long process. I was bitching to you about all the places.
Oh, you were stressing for months.
Hard to, like, a place would open, it was gone, open and gone.
I feel bad for anybody right now that is searching for home, searching for housing.
The place right next door,
right.
They were doing nonstop construction on it up to, like, three days ago. There's a sign out front, and I was like, let me just look to see what this place next door is asking. $2,200.
Oh my God.
For the place next door,
which is probably more or less the same house.
It's pretty similar to this, but less of a backyard. Like if you look out in the backyard, there is no backyard. Like dude. When I was like, at least I can sit out on the area out back here. I can grill. I'm like, there's no yard.
So fortunate.
It's just so unbelievable what they're charging here.
I couldn't afford to live in Vegas. If I was trying to move to Las Vegas now, I couldn't afford it, man. Right. That's just the reality of my financial situation. I bought a house back in 2012, and man, knock on wood, dude, right. Did I get lucky, man, because my mortgage payment's locked in. And,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps trying to say, oh, well, you know, that's the Raiders' fault. And I don't think that's true. I mean, it certainly didn't help having a good professional team. And then I think the fact that now other teams are starting to look at
it,
we might start having something. But I can't put my finger on it and say this is the reason why the cost of living has went up here.
I mean, having a nice stadium and a team, I'm sure that helps the value of the – but that can't be it.
It can't
How
be.
Much of an impact could the stadium have?
I mean, our cost of living went – I mean, it had to be, what, 30, 40% something? Mm-hmm. It feels like it literally halved. You know what it was before. I mean, like, it used to be the inside joke, man. It's so cheap to live here. Everybody come. I'd be like, everybody come to Vegas.
Used to tell people,
now
come out of here. Not anymore.
Well,
I mean, there's no state income tax, which that's nice, and property taxes are low, but it's not cheap anymore.
It's not cheap anymore.
It's crazy, man.
But I am grateful to be here, and I'm glad you finally got to get over here.
Dude, it's
and,
not it's not even like 10 minutes from my house, man. It's so
close,
much
right?
closer, man. It's so
I'm
much closer.
I'm just glad you didn't try to make me go to B-dubs, because I end up spending like 40 or 50 bucks every time.
I know you're on that nice budget right now.
Well, it's just not a budget. It's not a nice budget. It's a save my pennies. We got higher bills.
I know you're on that tight budget with the rent increase. But listen, you got what you paid for. I just give you credit there, man. It's not like
that.
If you'd have been – not again, the place, the expansive estates over there, phenomenal.
I tried to keep all the staff on. I tried to keep all the staff on, you know, so I had to penny pinch.
This is nice, though, man. This is really nice. Well, listen, I wanted to check your pulse. I'm enjoying the break, right? I mean, we said let's enjoy the break. Let's soak in our three-week off season.
I'm totally enjoying it.
I'm ready for fights, though. Man, I'm ready for fights.
I am, you know, there is something about being able to watch fights from home that is just fun and just wonderful. Like if there are fights on right now that I didn't have to go work,
right.
I would be super stoked.
Tuned in,
I'd be like,
it,
hell yeah, I'm gonna watch this. Like I watched every grappling event that's happened
right.
since then, so I was grateful that there was combat sports and things to watch. But getting back into the routine of having to go like 3 or 4 days a week, then you're just like. Do we want to jump back into this?
I'm ready, man. I know what you're saying, though. You're right about that. And maybe as part of it, January it's going to be kind of light because USC 270, for instance, you're going to go out to Anaheim for USC 270. Yep. I will not be going out to USC 270, so I'm actually going to be covering that one from home. Obviously, I'll be assisting with you guys. But we're doing something kind of new. I guess we could talk about it, right? It's all official. But we're doing – so – well, Georgian goes.
Depending on how well the test goes tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Caveat here. We think we're going to be doing something new, but we've got to do a little bit of testing tomorrow. But I guess the plan is, Georgian goes have been doing these watch alongs for a while. That's been something they've been doing for the big pay per view. So they're going to continue to do their watch along, which will be for the entire pay per view main card. And I think they do a couple of the prelims as well.
Yeah,
featured
like if the
prelims.
If the prelims are broken into two, like if they have the early and then the regular prelims, they start at the regular prelims.
So they're on there for quite a while doing that. But we're going to add to that, we're going to add a pre-fight show and a post-fight show. Now, my understanding, first of all, shout out to Goes from MMA Junkie Radio because he stepped up and said, I'm gonna handle these because it's something that you would be really good at. Obviously, it's, some of the live shows that we've done in terms of, like, switching programs and feeds. You remember the Contender Series previews we did, this kind of – you'd be great at it. But the reality is you're at most events covering this, so you can't do both. So Goes has stepped up. He's going to handle production duties, but we're going to have –
he's signing up for a long – long day goes.
I know, bro. You know, when I heard that he put his hand in the air, I was like, boy, I sure hope there were some financial discussions behind
yes,
the scenes.
Indeed.
Not my place to get involved on that, but boy, I hope there was some.
I was like, you know, if he had an agent, his agent would be like, goes. Make sure you ask for something before you sign the dotted line.
I hope they took care of him, man. So we're going to do a pre-fight show.
Yep, with Farah.
With Farah Hanoun. She'll be doing
a
pre-fight show.
I'm so excited. And to go behind the curtain, they had actually talked about trying to use another individual from within USA Today, who's a great personality, guy who's involved with MMA. You know, he's a good dude. But, you know, we always are about trying to help and promote from within.
Keeping
allow
the
people
chunky
to do stuff.
Family, right?
And Farah's she's fantastic.
Right.
I mean, she's about as smart and educated when it comes to the fight game as anybody out
yes.
there. So if the possibility of giving her something to do to boost her own profile, but also keep it within the family.
Phenomenal.
I'm so happy about that. And people got to understand, like, even though it's like the prelims, it's still late for her.
Yeah.
You know, like, she can't do the post show because the post show's in the middle of the damn night. You know, I think it's still like maybe I can't.
It's going to be like.
It's still almost going to be like midnight.
It's going to be like
something.
Midnight, 1 in the morning, something like that for her.
Yeah, which is just crazy. I mean, so people ever wonder, like, you guys know that we like to grind, you know, but I will always say that I'm very thankful that we have other people on the staff of like-minded individuals that are willing to do the shit that is not glorious. It's not glamorous. You know, it's like you want to work in MMA media. Okay, are you willing to give up your free life? And are you willing to do things like this?
You just have to sell your soul.
You just have to give up your soul, give up having a life, and give up sleep.
Yep.
So here's a case where, you know, for her to do something to better her own profile, but also help create something that's great for Junkie, she's going to have to stay up until the middle of the damn night and still be fresh. I mean, luckily for her, she's familiar with doing interviews around that time because,
yep.
unfortunately for her, she's so far over because she's in, Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
So the time zone, she's doing interviews at 1 or 2 in the morning sometimes with fighters just so that she could have it on their time frame.
That's right.
That's the dedication that she has. So, you know, while some might be like, oh, man, how lucky is that she's getting to do that? She's busting her ass and staying up late just to do this,
well
you know?
Said.
So I'm so grateful that we have people on staff that are willing to do that sort of thing because she was one of the first people I thought of. I mean, we have a couple other on staff that I think would be good as well, but now we have the freedom to use them in other areas where we can use her where we weren't normally using her on fighting. We normally knew her the day after.
So I think the hope is that we'll do more. Like, this is kind of a test run, but I think the hope is we do more of these for pay-per-view events. You know, Georgian goes,
right.
always do the watch and all. So the idea would be, since she attends very few shows because
right.
of where she is geographically, that she's somebody that could be like a familiar face. Whereas the post
show, so our pre-show.
So
host.
She'll do the pre-show, and then I'm going to do a post-show,
right.
Which will follow.
At least the first one, right?
At least the first one. So that's the idea. Is I think the post-show, that's going to kind of rotate through depending
right.
on who's where.
Because if you're on site, you can't do it.
If I'm on site, I can't do it. And
right.
I wasn't ever going to go to Anaheim because Mike Bond, his dad lives in Southern California.
And he's already
so,
out there.
So he wants to get out there.
Yep.
Which, what am I going to say? Like, you want to go see your dad? No, bro. I'm the on-site reporter. Like, step back, son. This is my response.
How
course.
Dare you?
So I'm going to handle the first one, and I don't know. I'm kind of excited. I don't really know what the format will be yet or exactly how we're going to do it. I know we're going to test tomorrow. I'm going to talk to Goz. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be working with Goz, so I guess, you know, kind of letting him call the shots a little bit and guiding.
So the goal is, like, because we'll still be having the streaming coverage. So we'll still be shooting the interviews afterwards, but you'll be there giving a little bit more context as well.
Right.
You know, talk about – and then – handing over the shot will go to the stuff. So if you're watching, it's like an enhanced post-fight. We're still going to have the YouTube stream. The goal, at least right now, is to still have the YouTube stream like we normally do, which is just the straight post-fight of just you'll see the table. A fighter comes up. We interview the fighter. And then it's just the table. But in the new enhanced feed, you'll have John providing context. You'll see John talking about the different other stuff. And then we'll toss to the thing. So
that's right.
You have the two different flavors. If you want to hear John, which I think you will, you'll watch the John version. When it's another host that you don't want to watch, you'll end up watching the clean stream.
Be like, well. I don't like you so much, I would rather watch a blank
I'd
screen.
I'd rather just watch the empty desk.
So wrong. So wrong. No, clearly you'll always be tuned in to the one that the host is hosting. So that'll rotate
hopefully
through.
It works out. I mean, hopefully it works out great. I mean, it's going to be something different. And ultimately, it's just about enhancing the – the viewing experience of what's going on. You know, if you have a writer, if you have somebody that follows the sport and is able to kind of do it, give a little context to what somebody maybe missed. A lot of times people turn into the stream afterwards. Oh, what did I miss? Who did I already see? Who was already up there? What did they say? You know, now we have somebody providing that information. So I think it should be.
Maybe
should
we can
really
have some
cool
communication with commenters and things like
with
that.
With commenters, of course. Yeah. You know, I think it's gonna be. Like I said, I mean, it's going to be a lot of work for Goes, you know, to kind of get it going. But I think once you get the routine down, man, it should be something really good. I mean, something definitely excited for, you know, of just something else that we can kind of provide, and, you know, and just another reason to show why MMA Junkie is the best.
Damn straight.
But we're starting strong. I think having Fair in the beginning and you in the back, or you in the post for the very first one. I think we're starting strong, you know, at least to sort of set the tone, and then hopefully others can kind of follow it and stuff. But
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know exactly what to expect in terms of how it'll be laid out, but and it'll be the first time, so obviously we'll kind of have to do it
and
on the fly.
Eli
get better.
Set in, you know, and have Eli kind of talk about the fights with you guys. Because CM's not available, you know, Phil's not available, so, you know, it might be Eli.
I got to start training him. Get him ready.
Got to start him young.
Got to start. Get him going, man. Yeah, so looking forward to that. So that'll be around USC 270. Obviously, we've got a couple weeks to then. We still got a fight night here in Vegas first that we'll be handling, and we'll be covering that like normal. And then it'll be funny, right? Because I'll do a post-fight show, and then I guess I'll go do the and a half as well. So I'll do a post-fight show, and then I'll do another post-fight show. Or maybe we'll incorporate elements of – I don't know what we'll do, but looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. A little teaser there for you. So, listen, you mentioned watching the grappling. I did want to say, man, Fury Grappling 3, if for any reason you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's on Fight Pass, man. I think you'll really enjoy it. We did the whole thing. Prelims and main card is like 2.5 hours total. It's like quick pace, no filler whatsoever, and I loved it. That's Rob Hadak. Shout out to him. He's a visionary who, first of all, says, I want the grappling to look different than the MMA does. He's like, so if you guys just want to wear a sweatshirt or a hoodie.
You want to wear your cargo shorts, John.
That's all you had to say, Rob. You didn't have to argue twice. I was doing production in my shorts.
Or somebody, I remember seeing the picture.
Did they? Oh, I'm sure they
did. I remember seeing a picture and they were, you know, or something. I remember the way that the cut, where the shot was, it was just below knee level, so you could see the top of your cargo shorts.
Well,
and they were wearing jeans. I think Phil had like a sweatshirt on or something.
Yeah, he
and
had
like a hat. So he was casual as well. But it's funny. I was like, you know, Morgan's gonna have fucking shorts on.
So well, normally it's a two shot. Normally it has been me and Phil. Or the last time we did a standing. So this time we did a sit down with three. We brought Paul Felder in as well. Which
I thought that was good.
Working with Paul was so fun. Me, Paul Felder,
he's got great
CM Punk.
Energy. And you guys have always had a good relationship as well,
right?
You know, but Paul's got great energy.
Great energy,
you know,
man. It was fun to work with him.
Yeah, the banter between all three of you was good because it felt like you could definitely tell that you guys had all either talked before, hung out before, or had like good respect because everybody kind of flowed really nicely.
Yeah,
like you and Phil have been working out enough that I mean, you guys got that nice ease. But, like, it didn't feel like it was like, oh, no, now we got to work in a third person.
I know. I was a little bit worried about that. So, like, I actually asked the producers if we could put Paul in between me and Punk so that way, like, we could each look at him. Like, you know what I mean? Instead of he's out on the side, that way, we could both kind of work. I thought it worked fine. And I don't know if that's going to be our plan moving forward. I mean, that was a one-night thing. Obviously, this was a really special card. I think we had – on the main card alone, there were 12 UFC vets, which I thought just made it so much fun. It looked like, from what I could tell, man, everybody was real happy with the product. Everybody's real happy with the response to the product. The numbers did good on MMA Junkie, so I'm assuming they did good for Fight Pass.
I mean, the grappling was, I mean, it always is going to be, you know, how is the grappling or how was the fights, you know, that's always going to make an event.
Sure.
The grappling was outstanding.
Yep.
There was great shit that happened. But no, I thought it was great. I mean, I think Paul, he brings not that it's bringing legitimacy, but I like the fact of what he brings as opposed to just bringing in, say, like a grappling stud. Say if he was like, oh, we're going to have Craig Jones be the third person, it'd be a totally different energy.
Sure.
Just for the fact of how many events that Paul's called as well, you know, so there's an ease. There's a time of knowing, which I have a problem sometimes, of like just shutting up and letting others talk, you know, like sometimes that can be hard
sure.
as well, you know, and that's why sometimes when like DC and like Dom and John get together, and maybe sometime with Bisping, sometimes people don't shut up.
Right.
You know, and they just end up talking over, and then they get caught up in their own conversation. And then it's like, wait, you know, there's still a fight going on, right, that your guys are supposed to be calling or whatever. like, Paul's really, really good. So, I mean, I hope he gets to continue it because, one, he knows what he's talking about as well, but also he's a pro, man. I mean, he's great.
He's doing
a
UFC 1 week and doing our event the next. Yeah. That's amazing. You know what I mean? So I love working with him. He and we had Jay Regabuto as well, who was our fourth man, who we kind of went to as the grappling expert to walk us through certain situations. Dude is knowledgeable as hell, man. Yeah. He knows his stuff. So
great beard.
He has a great beard. It was a fun time overall, man. I really enjoyed it. I hope we get to do more like that. Like I said, I think everybody was happy with it. Unfortunate ending, right? I'll be honest with you.
That's the only thing that
I panicked a little bit. I was like, man, does this mean we're never going to get to do it again? Because if anybody hasn't seen it, I understand spoiler or whatever, but I mean, the results have been out there. This is, you know, Carlos Esparza basically in the main event against Danielle Kelly. Of course, Carlos Esparza filled in for Rose Namajunas. Carla comes in on a week's notice. She's working top position, and Danielle Kelly has wrist control. And so Carla Esparza lifts up to slam out of it, and basically the heads collide, and Carla gets a really bad cut over her right eye. Danielle ended up getting a pretty nasty hematoma as well, but obviously the cut was the real concern. Match is over at that point. Obviously, it's on the eyelid. It could have been worse. I mean, we could have been talking about ligament damage. And, you know, afterwards it was like, man, you know, this stuff does happen in training. It's not like, you know, you can't get cut in training. It happened in a live match. It was a damn unfortunate ending. But I don't think it's the type of thing where, like, the UFC is going to say, we just can't do that. I mean, we know she's supposed to fight for the title, but we don't even have the fight booked yet. You know what I mean?
Say, it was better as a cut than something like that. Because even a cut can affect, you know, a fight if it was close enough. If it's close enough. But luckily, you know, if you had to choose the worst of two evils, better a cut on her face as opposed to, like you said, ligament damage, some sort of
surgery,
you know, tear
needed,
or some sort of something else.
I mean, we saw it happen to Cub Swanson, right, when we were at the Quintet Ultra.
I went back and watched that because when I knew we were going to talk about it in the last spinning back click. So I went back and watched it, and it was just like – it was just so heartbreaking to watch. But, you know, I couldn't remember at the time, but I remember when I went back and watched it, he did it to himself. You know, and there was that point because you were just like,
which Carla did it to herself. So if you think about it, this is crazy. Yeah, it's happened twice, you know. And I'm not trying to put the blame on Carla. Obviously, fortunately, the UFC took care of her. Like, she was in contact with Dana right away, and they were they were good. I talked to her at the hotel that night. She wasn't panicked at all because I could see her maybe being like, oh shit, you know.
I hated some of the feedback some people were giving. Like, there was somebody that was just like, oh, you're gonna do dumb shit. You're gonna do white belt shit. You know, you're gonna get blah 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 or something. I was just more like, I'm a fan of Danielle Kelly. I think she's just fantastic what she's doing. But, man, afterwards when she was just like, you know, like, you know, like, look what happens when you try to do that. I was just like, I wish Carla would have fucking ground
him. I did see that. See that feedback where people were like, man, and look, Danielle's young and she's, man, this is the spotlight is growing around her. She's admitted she feels pressure in these situations because, I mean, she's building her profile and all that. You know, and so you win against a former UFC champion, you know, a top-ranked contender. I'm sure that does feel good. You know, that pressure comes up. But you got to know, right? Nobody wanted to win that way. I agree. If there's any criticism, like, she celebrated. Like, I did hear some people say, I wish she wouldn't have celebrated quite as much.
After that, I was like, I wish Carla would have dropped an elbow or two and just said, fuck it. You want to do big shit, all right? Here, how about this? You know, but like, you can't take away from what she's doing and her grappling, man. That's why when she lost against, what was it, Yanez, like the week or so before, I was just like, whoa, this girl can lose?
Right.
I was like, I didn't think she could lose, you know? Like, she's such a stud, man. She's so incredible. And I guess if there was anything, like, you're right. I mean, I guess I can't hold it against her that she was actually, you know, sort of cheering of her accomplishment. She won. She, like you said, she beat Carla. But I just wanted her to be more humble in that moment because we knew.
Because it's an injury.
It was an injury, and it was Carla did it. It wasn't that you hit it. I mean, like Connor would say, she never lost.
That's
you
right.
Know? Like, you didn't beat me. I beat myself. You know, this is not you. You know, you can't even celebrate.
Sean O'Malley, and that's undefeated as far as I'm concerned. Sean O'Malley will tell you, man, his eye just gave out on him, man. Yeah. Had his skin not failed him.
But, you know, but it still goes to the point where, you know, she was, even though Carla was in the top position, she wasn't able to really do anything. So she went to a move to try to break loose, you know, like, so if Danielle did so good to actually control her that Carla thought, this is what I need to do.
That I'm not safe here, that I can't
move forward. Like,
that tells you she felt
threatened. Yeah, that tells you what she was doing, you know. Like, I mean, she's so she's so incredible, you know, so I'm not going to fault her because she actually celebrated whatever. But I, at the time, for like 5 minutes afterwards, like, I was like, man, I wish Carla would have punched her or something. But then I was like, stop doing that. Stop saying that. I she's fantastic. I mean,
she's phenomenal. She'll be back.
And Danielle's like one of the ones that, I mean, like, if you need people to carry a sport, and, you know, just like what Kayla did for like judo, what Rhonda did for judo, you know, you have these people that people are like, oh my goodness, you know, she has the potential to be a role model and be something that all the upcoming young athletes, whether it be girls or boys, can look at her and say, wow,
yep,
look what you can do if you just really work your butt off in that one particular thing.
It's so funny. She said that that's one of her favorite things about the notoriety that she's getting is when she hears like kids, you know, they like thank her and say that they watch her, they want to do that, and they were inspired by her. She's like, that just means the world to me. So it was cool.
Look, very cool.
I like the rule set too. I like the modified rule set. I know Craig Jones wasn't necessarily a biggest fan of not being able to use his leg locks, but to me, man, that really balances it out with the MMA. And the way I looked at it,
I've never seen that dude lose before.
And I said it on the broadcast. I was like, look,
the only time I've ever seen him lose.
And I know. And he was so frustrated, too, because he's like, we didn't do anything. I'm like, well, Craig, you were in guard the whole time. Like, you know what I mean? So, but, you know, he can't do, and I know how much of the game is his leg locks, but the MMA fighters are used to being able to strike in those positions. Right. So you're taking away a little bit from you and taking away a little bit from them. It balances it out.
Yeah, like even an MMA fight, if a wrestler or somebody takes him down, they're like, dude, he's not doing anything. It was like, well, then get up.
Then get up.
Get up on your own. I'm not going to stop the action. Do something about it, you know? So I was surprised that he stayed down, because it's, what, 10 minutes?
8 minutes. Ten for the main, eight for everything else. But still,
it's a long time.
Yeah.
And it was almost
he was down in like
30
seconds, the same way he always does. Yeah. Like at first, like, he stayed on the feet for a second. I was like, oh, maybe he's going to fight a little different. Yeah. And they're like, no, he sat down the same way he always does. Which is good. I mean, he's dangerous in that position. But Sean Brady, you know, dealt with it. He was trying to pass the guard. It was a big win. I enjoyed it. I like this. I hope we get to do more of it. And, man, it's so cool to see Clay Guida, Cowboy Cerrone. Awesome.
Clay Singlet Guida.
The singlet was awesome.
And he still did
the slaps. I mean, you know, dude, Kevin Holland was fun, man. Not only was he entertaining just in talking and making faces, but his match was entertaining. Yeah. We had Jillian Robertson on there. So I'm just telling you, if you didn't watch it, go watch it on Fight Pass. It's worth it. Like I said,
it was very cool.
I think it's entertaining. Like I said, we did the whole thing, prelims and main, in like 2.5 hours.
They've been killing it, man. The Fight Pass grappling events, man, the invitational, then this thing. I mean, like, it's been fucking killing it, man.
I agree.
It's really good. And so even though we've had a break, I haven't felt like we've been out of whatever, but honestly, like, this time at home, not having to leave to go do events, I'm soaking
you've
it
been
in.
Enjoying
but I know that it's the time is almost
back
up.
On the road.
The time is almost up.
You got Anaheim in a couple weeks, then
forget we got Apex the week before.
I know,
you know, so we're like, we're back at it here, you know. But, you know,
we haven't talked about Houston yet, but I'm sure it'll probably be me and you, right?
I don't know. I just assume maybe Matt, because he's Texas
Matt
boy.
Wells, Texas boy.
Yeah, I mean, which is no slight to me. I mean, like, you guys did that last time. It was a Texas event.
Yeah.
So I just assumed Texas, you know, which is no problem for me. I'll still have to work it from home.
Of course.
But I just assumed Texas boys. Mm. I have no problem with that. Whatever. But, I mean, if I have to, I have to. It's just – but, yeah, I mean, like, so I haven't felt like there hasn't been events because we've had the grappling thing. So I'm good on, you know – Cage Fury, and good on, you know, the UFC, and good on Fight Pass, man.
Yeah.
If people ever, I mean, like, I know some people kind of felt like Fight Pass maybe fell out or didn't give them the content that they want, but I mean, I'm loving it, man.
Yeah.
I still go back and watch like old stuff on there, you know. I mean, I was going back there and watching some old fights the other day, and it's just like, man, if I guess it is for the diehards. I mean, like, it's probably not everybody that every once in a while is like, oh, man, remember that one match with, you know, Matt Hughes and blah, 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 you know, and you're like, let me just pull that up. Not everybody's going to do that. But the fact that that exists, that fight library that they have on there, it is so it's just incredible, man. It's just incredible, which makes me think of something I've just given to John. When I worked at the UFC, after every event, we would print out the master DVDs. We'd have the prelims and then the programs, and it would go into the archive. But we also gave some to the fighters. We gave some to the commission. But a lot of it was
That's how you got tape back in the day.
And we used to actually have big old tape rooms and stuff. So I would always take copies of the events afterwards for my own little watching. This is before Fight Pass existed.
Right.
So I found a bunch of duplicates that I had. So I just gifted John a bunch of the ones. But yeah, over in my little DVD thing, starting back from when I started with the UFC in, what was it, 2011, going till 2015, a bunch of the events. I got them all in sequential order.
Crazy.
There were some that I missed one. But like just going back and looking at some of the old fights, it's just cool, but more than likely, it's so much easier now to put on like Fight Pass. But it's cool still having the DVD though, because there's that whole history tied to it or whatever. You know, I remember after the event, you know, going over to the tape room, watching the guys pressing the DVDs. I was like, hey, you got that DVD for the event? You know, I want that Diaz event, man. Come on, give me that Diaz event.
It's crazy.
So yeah, man.
Flash from the past, man.
It is.
Nuts. All right, well, listen, you know, it's funny. So last week I went ahead and did the show solo because of our travel schedules and all that. And it was funny because I was teasing for everybody to watch for the male and the female fighter of the year to see what they think about our awards at MMA Junkie, because I actually wrote both of those. Unfortunately, me not paying attention to the schedule, we're here a week later and I'm talking to you again, and those still haven't been released yet. So I'm going to tease you again to pay attention to the male and female fighter of the year and see if you think we got it right.
Yeah, because I'm looking at the wiki. I don't see them.
No, female fighter of the year is going to be released on Thursday, January 6th, and male is Friday, January 7th.
Just tell them who it is.
No, I can't do it. I'm not ruining it at all. So I'll get in trouble for that one. So, yeah, but I wrote both the pieces around them. No. Don't do it. Your 2022 travel schedule will shrink significantly when you get fired.
Okay. Well, then the fighter is
like, you're wanting to stay home. You can stay home all the time, bro, because you don't have a job anymore. How about that? You never have to travel again.
There's a little gas station next door. I wonder if I can make rent if I just work over there.
So those will be out. And then once those come out, then I'd love to hear what you think, if you think we got it right. As I said last week, I voted for the people that won in both categories, which I was happy about because I was slated to write up both pieces. And I have had it in the past where I've had to write the piece even though it's not the person I voted for, which I can do because I understand what the case is for why somebody else gets voted. But it's just a lot more rewarding to know that what you're writing is you know, your opinion as well. So so which one did you vote different in both categories
one? I'm trying to pull up the mail to see what mail is. You have to tell me who the mail was. I can remember. But no, I did not pick – for sure I did not pick the female. I was one of the.
There were four different. As I mentioned, like, there were four different fighters received votes in the female.
Yeah, I thought there would be more of a majority for who I picked, but I think when it came down the end, I think there were only two of us.
Right.
I might have. I'd have to look at who the category was again to see who it was. But I know for sure the female, because that was the one where I was like I was shocked at how many didn't pick who I picked and went the route that they did.
Right.
I understand why they did. I just felt like
I was on the fence, honestly, and I almost leaned the way you leaned.
Yeah, I think when people see when it finally comes out, you know, I think it all comes down to how you qualify it and, you know, what things you put in your head when it makes the decision of what is the fighter of the year. And I think that's when it comes down to everybody sort of had their own sort of set of criteria.
There is a little bit different criteria, right? I mean, how do you compare? Because it is tough for everything to be even.
Right.
So,
I mean, you watch, you know, even when you watch, like, I bet everybody, when you watch the fight, you know, when everybody's like, oh, man, that's the fight of the night right there. Oh, that's the performance. Everybody has their reasons, but at the very end of the night, you're like, man, I kind of get why that was decided, you
right.
know? And that's, I think with these things like this, you know, you know, some of these, you know, it feels like it's like a glorified popularity contest, you know, sometimes. But when you go down and you actually break it down and when you start thinking about some of the reasons, when you get to hear – what's nice about some of this is when the writers actually, you know, actually have stories going. You kind of get – now you get a more of an insight with the thinking of why
right.
people did. That's why I like that we actually write some of these things. I think sometimes
instead
when you
just put up a graphic or that's – yeah.
If you just see a graphic, you're like – that doesn't make any sense to me, and that's because you're putting it to your own set of criteria. So it's
unfortunately
nice
we can always trust the readers to read all the way through the story before forming an opinion and commenting. So we really that's the great part about it. So check out those when they come out and see what you think. And, yeah, you can weigh in on the stories that I wrote. If you guys don't mind reading what I put in there, I kind of gave my thought process
read,
as well.
People, read.
All right, so how about Fight of the Year was Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler. These are the ones that have already been released.
That was a great fight.
Great fight. First of all, let me just say this. Gaethje now has 3 Fight of the Year wins in 5 years. 3 out of 5. Now, he lost one of the fights, but I'm saying he was involved in the Fight of the Year in 3 of the last 5 years, which is, I mean,
back-to-back in 18 and 17.
I mean, if you ever want to, I mean that guy's place in history is secure as one of the most exciting fighters of all time. 3 Fight of the Years in 5 years. So I want to ask you about that one because Gaethje Chandler, I think, I don't want to say it was a runaway winner. We vote on all these as a staff, and it's majority rule. I think it was a pretty solid winner. I know that Volkanovski versus Ortega got some votes, which was a phenomenal fight.
That was a good fight.
I know Danny Segura had mentioned that he thought Holloway and Yair might get a few more votes than it did. I think it may have gotten one or two, but not very many. I know I remember Danny saying, man, I'm really surprised that one didn't get more. I think you even throw out maybe Prochazka and Reyes. I mean, maybe that was a Jiří Procházka and Dominic Reyes. I mean, that was a crazy fight as well for as long as it lasted. Volkanovski Ortega and Holloway Yair, to me, both had those kind of like ebbs and flows in them, like the emotion. Not that Gaethje Chandler didn't. I think with Gaethje Chandler, maybe it's like the sentimental favorite because like as soon as it was announced, everybody's like, this is going to be the most insane fight ever. Yeah. And then it lived up to the hype. Yeah. So it's like it was already expected to be the fight of the year, and then it lived up to the hype so that it has that love for it.
And I think watching it too, there was so much of that anticipation, like when the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, there was always that moment where you felt like the fight could be over at any moment. So there was just drama through the whole thing, you know? Like, I think when it comes to like a fighter, you have to have that nonstop drama.
Yeah.
Just because, and one, like the recency bias is very, very
recency
hard.
Recency bias
is so hard
to
get
over, man.
Because, you know, like, I go, when I'm looking through like the list of some of these things, I was like, man, I forgot all about how good that fight was. You know, like, even looking back at like 2017, that Gaethje Johnson fight.
Oh, my God.
Was absolutely nuts. But you forget all about it until something pops in your head. So, you know, fights that tend to happen towards the end or the later part of the year, I think, are a little bit luckier because of the bias and stuff.
I think so, too.
But that fight still was, I mean, just with the two competitors and just remembering how it felt watching it, it was just nonstop. I felt like at any point somebody could knock somebody else out, you know. Even just like with Holloway and like Yair and some of the other ones, there was moments of just greatness where you're just like, wow, look at him just toying, look at him just doing the thing. But it didn't have the same feeling like at any moment I could see the fight going either way. And that's what I kind of need sometimes.
I would agree. And the one that I would argue that did have it maybe is Volkanovski Ortega. Man, like, dude, that moment of Volkanovski like kicking his leg, trying to get out of that choke, dude. It's like, oh my God,
gnarly.
This is over. You know what I mean? Like, it's
done.
That's
pretty gnarly.
So I think, and I ended up voting Gaethje Chandler too, but I was torn because I thought maybe Volkanovski Ortega might have been the way to go because of. Technically, I guess the stakes are a little bit higher, right?
And we never actually say. Do we say in like the articles who would have been like second or who would have took it or whatever?
I think we usually mention like an honorable mention of like some of the.
Because that had to be number two.
I think it was number two.
Yeah, because I remember people voting for that one. Because you're right, that was now when you think about it in your head, it's that fucking recency bias. Because now when you put that moment, I think everybody was like, because Ortega was getting the shit handed to him until that point, and then you're like, oh my god. Is this really going to happen? And then when Volkanovski got out of it, you're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe he got out of it. Then you're just like, oh, my God, it's just going nuts. But, I mean, that the Gaethje Chandler, that's a good winner. That's a good winner.
So here's one that I actually voted on and I wrote as well. So I did the male fighter, female fighter. Those haven't come out yet. One that did come out that I voted for, it was my vote, and it was one that I wrote, and it kind of combats the recency bias a little bit, I think, is the event of the year. And for me, I went UFC 261, Usman versus Masvidal 2. I saw a lot of people, you know, in these kind of online votes and things like that, saying UFC 268, saying UFC 269, which were both phenomenal cards. But for me, that UFC 261 card, not only was it just an insane fight card with three title fights, three stoppages, all stoppages on the main card, but it was also the return of fans, man. You know what I mean? And that was the night that the fans back then, and just the energy that was in that place.
Weidman got his leg.
Oh, snapped, man. Just the energy that was in that building, man. I'll never forget, like, you know, just getting into the arena and, like, I mean, when Anik walked in, like, the crowd's going crazy. When Buffer walks in, the crowd's going crazy. Rogue and DC, you know, it was just everybody was so happy to get, an event again and to be able to get back together and to be able to have the sold-out crowd. And then if
eight
you remember –
finishes.
And the fights were nuts. Remember the first fight of the night?
Four decisions.
The first fight of the night was absolutely insane, dude. Like, they just came out and just throwing bombs. Yeah. The fight of the night was second fight of the night, man. It was a great card.
Look at that. That's crazy.
I saw a lot of people going like 268, 269, but we picked 261, and that was my vote as well. And I think, again, recency bias is tough, but, man, if you put yourself back at USC 261 and remember the return of fans and remember what all happened, pretty major one. I'll just burn through a couple and see what you – a surprise one, but I like this one. Newcomer of the year, Roush Manfio from over in the PFL. Remember, he was an alternate, comes in and wins $1 million and takes out some recognizable names. So that was a surprising one, I think, but I thought one that deserved to be rewarded. Our breakout fight of the year was Giga Chikadze, which I think is a good choice there. You know, Giga's kind of been on that steady climb, but this feels like the moment that he really kind of got the respect with two big wins over the year. Comeback fighter of the year, to me, was a no-brainer. Chris Curtis, the guy that was retired not that long ago, the action man, comes in, goes 6-0 on the year, including the two big wins in the UFC. No-brainer for me for comeback fighter of the year.
I was a little sad. I wanted Beast Boy to be the breakout fighter of the year.
That's a good one, too.
I fucking love that dude.
That's a good one, too.
Like, I never even thought – like, I mean, not that I didn't think about him before, but this year, it wasn't even like he just ran through everybody, but his personality and what he was able to do this year, like, he wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
And after this year, I was like, who is this dude? And I was like, my God, I absolutely love this dude.
That wouldn't have been a bad choice.
Going
I guess,
out
you
there
know,
fighting, doing flips, doing all kinds of shit.
I guess, you know, the first fight didn't go necessarily – but the second one was so good.
That was Ben needed that one too. I mean that was it was crazy just seeing Ben needed that.
Oh,
win.
He did need that one.
But I mean, and that's the thing that, like, again, it just comes down to like criteria and other stuff. Like, I could also see when I say like this guy, I'm like, that's a stupid pick because he had one win. But in terms of like, you know, memorable things or whatever, like there were so many characters that sort of shone out that it's so tough to like pick these sort of things. But yeah, part of me just wanted a homer for that guy. But I was like, if I try to say like,
wouldn't have been a bad case to make.
I was like, I can see where people are like, that's stupid.
It wouldn't have been a bad case to make, though. I mean, maybe a newcomer of the year would have been a good category for that as well. Yeah. You know, because he made it to the UFC. So yeah, he probably deserved a little bit of recognition too. He did make a big splash. Submission of the year, Andre Muniz with the arm break of Jacare Souza. Tough to argue that one. Upset of the year, Juliana Pena defeating Amanda Nunes.
That's probably the shoo-in. Easiest pick out of all of them.
Yeah, that was a shoo-in. How about, I was a little bit surprised with our knockout of the year. Knockout of the year ended up being Sergio Pettis over Kyoji Horiguchi. And again, you mentioned recency bias. I know. And listen,
it was a phenomenal
knockout.
He was losing. Yes. He was losing badly. So there is something about how that, I mean, there was a turnaround, you know, of like, I don't know, turnaround of the fight of the year, whatever. I mean, like, that was balls. It was just nuts. But I mean, also too, like, nobody's knocking out Horiguchi. Nobody's finishing Horiguchi. So to be getting his ass handed to him and then to get that,
pretty spectacular.
I wasn't sad.
It's not
it
a bad winner. It's not a bad winner. No. I was just a little bit surprised. For me, I actually voted for Usman over Masvidal just because it was such an unexpected result. I mean, it was a brutal KO,
it was
one that nobody saw coming. I mean, I think most everybody I know thought Usman was going to win that fight. I didn't see many Masvidal picks out there other than just
but
fans.
You just didn't think it'd be like that.
Not like that. Not like that. So that was spectacular. A couple other ones I thought at least were deserving. Lewis and Blades, just because, I mean, stiffening with that shot was pretty spectacular. Yep. But I'll mention again, Prohaska Reyes, that was a crazy
was
kill.
Good.
And I'll throw it out there too. I think Sanhagen Edgar was a quality nominee as well. A sad moment, obviously, in the Apex seeing that. So it's been interesting. We got a few more to come. So
good candidates. I mean, for sure. I mean, that's the thing. It's so tough. I mean, like, luckily work in a sport where, I mean, like, it's almost it is hard to like pick between, and there's always going to be so people on you know, saying that, oh, your picks are stupid, you can't blah blah blah, because, you know, unfortunately you have to at some point whittle them down to something.
You do.
You know, or you're going to be choosing between 20 fights or 20 options every time, and at some point you just have to whittle them down to something. But I think the ones we picked are good. But yeah, I mean, I can't be upset with the Pettis Horiguchi, just for the fact of that was just such a spectacular
ending. Spectacular. It was clutch delivery, right, of a fight, like you said, that you were losing against a dude that is a phenomenal world-class athlete.
And I think a lot of times they expect only great shit. And you look at our list. I mean, our list very, very heavily leans UFC. I mean, let's be honest. We've always said, they have some of the best fighters in the world, but Bellator's really kicked it up. Mm-hmm. And I was glad that they were able to get a little bit of shine, and they deserved it. I mean, like, that's definitely not a, oh, hey, let's throw Bellator a bone.
Give another promotion.
No,
yeah.
Like that fight for sure was fantastic. And I mean, it was just, man, he was getting his ass handed to him, and I was feeling so bad, because I mean, I was like, man, you just got the belt and now you're not even going to be able to defend it. And his family's there, his brother is there, you know. I mean, I loved it when he got that belt, man. The pride in Anthony's face when he went up there and was celebrating with him, I just love that. I mean, I wish we could have more of that sort of thing. But, you know, you don't have a lot of siblings that fight in the sport. But for have one be able to, let alone a former champ, be able to see his younger brother rise up and get
pretty
a belt
cool
as well. It was so cool. So at this point, you're like, oh, no, he's not going to be able to defend the belt. And it was like such the toughest, tough name to get it. And for him to pull it out, he really – not that he changed my perception of Sergio, because I've always thought Sergio was a hell of a nice individual, and he's a great, great fighter. But man, until that point, I was like, man, maybe he just doesn't have what it takes to be like that champ that you could see with the longevity, being able to hold on to it. Is he just a flash in the pan?
Right.
Did he just get there, and is it going to be done, and we're not going to remember the Sergio? After that, I was like, wow, okay, kid. And, I see you.
And then how about when the training footage comes out showing that he was working that exact, you know what I mean? Like,
so sick.
That's awesome.
So sick.
That was awesome. Well, I should say, appreciate all your feedback on any of our awards. Always glad to hear what you guys think about it. Should say if you like what you're listening to about with all this type of discussion, make sure you do us a favor and log into wherever you're listening to. Leave us some feedback. Rate us, review us. That always helps out. If you want to step your game up to the next level and take us over to patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow, you can help support us financially over there. Certainly do appreciate that. Of course, you get exclusive access to the and a half episodes that we do every week. And, of course, you just get our undying love and affection as well, because we appreciate you keeping the lights on.
That's it.
That's how Cold Coffee is able to move into this wonderful estate.
That's how I was able to keep the staff on.
Look, we're helping the economy here in Las Vegas. You're really helping out. All right, listen, before I headed over here to the beautiful abode of Cold Coffee, I did get a chance to speak briefly with Pani Kianza, UFC women's bantamweight. Yeah, she's a fantastic person, a fun interview, and so I had a chance to catch up with her, so I'll share that with you now. Eventually, we'll have some coverage on MMA Junkie when I get back to work later this week, but for now, we'll share it with you. Here's Pani Kianza. All right, Pani, well, last time we got a chance to see you, it was in September. I know it was kind of a frustrating result for you. You know, you had the win streak snapped, and I know probably just a frustrating result overall. So talk to me. I mean, what kind of lessons did you take out of that fight?
Well, I just that I don't want to be in a boring fight. And I was in a crucially boring fight, and I hate myself for that. The only thing, I'm not really thinking about the results. It would be nice to be 5-0. I'm not going to lie. But I just did not, like, if the decision would have gone my way, I would not be happy. I would never want to win like that, because I did not look good. I didn't feel like myself. I won't say that I didn't feel like myself. I just felt that Rocky was better that night, and I did not perform to my fullest. And I'm woman enough to admit that. I mean, I'm okay. I'm probably going to be better the day after, but it's like Saturday night. It was like that night, and I did not perform. But it's fine.
It takes two, right? I mean, I know you have all the respect in the world for Raquel Pennington, and she's tough, and she's on a nice run as well. But, I mean, do you put some of that blame on her as well? That, hey, it takes two people to make a fight either exciting or boring.
I mean, she wanted to win, and I guess that was her way to win. But I wouldn't blame her. I wouldn't want to stand with me either. I mean, if you look at it that way, just so I just fill into her game, and that's what she's good at. That's what I tried so hard in this camp to not fall into. It was her game, but I did not succeed that night. But I mean, I've been working a lot since that day. When I got home, 3 days after, I was in the gym. I was like, this is not going to bring me down. I'm not going to be a depressed fuck. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep on working. That's why I got to be like 4-0 in a year. So,
very nice. I did want to ask you health-wise. You had some eye issues after the fight, right? What happened there?
I don't know what it was. I can't say if it was something on my part or on her part. I'm not really, I can't remember, so I don't want to say that it was, but it's all good now. I mean, I thought it was worse, but I'm all healed and I have no issues with that.
Nice. Was that scary at all? I mean, I think, like, you know, eyesight, obviously that can change a career instantly, right?
I was kind of blind for a few days, but not like it wasn't like super dangerous. It was just that it hurt so much that I just didn't want to open my eyes. But wow. I checked it all out and it was nothing, you know, nothing bad, and it kind of healed. So I'm fantastic. Back to training. Yeah.
Great to hear that. So talk about what the focus has been. You said, you know, that whole camp, the goal was don't fall into her game plan. You fell into her game plan. What have you been doing? I mean, I hear fighters say a lot of the time when you're not preparing for a camp, that's when you can actually get better as a fighter. So what's the focus been like for you?
That's what I've been doing. I've been trying to be uncomfortable in a lot of positions, like trying to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. Can you say it like that? And trying to like learn new stuff. Because last year I was basically in camp the whole year and I didn't really learn that much new stuff. So that's what I've been trying to do this right after the Rocky fight. I've just been like training on stuff that I feel uncomfortable in. And, you know, being like new at something, being like not being the best at something is pretty hard. But that's what I've been trying to do and just like build myself up, you know, going back to my strength and conditioning, like pretty heavy training. That's not something I'm doing in camp. So just very nice. Working on new stuff. I moved out a couple of months in the woods. Like I just said, I'm from the south of Sweden. It's a pretty big town, but I moved 5 hours away into like the forest, and I rented a house in the middle of nowhere. And when I talked to my manager about it, I'm like, "Yeah, it could be wolves here." He's like, "You don't have a gun?" I'm like, "No, why would I have a gun?" He's like, "I would never be around wolves without a gun." I'm like, "No, that's so American." So I'm living out here, training with my other training buddies from around here, and I have one of my coaches here as well. So, you know, I'm living kind of the Rocky lifestyle here. That's what I'm trying right now.
Was that kind of the influence? Is like this Rocky, like get out there?
It is. And I mean, if you look around here, it's just snow and just like woods and everything. So it got this like, because after the fight, I got this like, I got so motivated, like Rocky did after the first fight and after the Clover Lang fight. So I'm super motivated to get back in there, but I just needed my space a bit because, like I say, I live in a big city. I used to train in Copenhagen for 9 years. And if anybody been in Copenhagen, it's pretty messy. And it's a big town, a lot of people, but now I have nobody around here, so it's pretty nice.
That's crazy. I saw you training with the Swedish national team, right? Is that something that you've done before, or is that new?
I have a couple of buddies there that are still amateurs that have been training with them. But I was teaching them a class, and then I was just like hanging around and watching them do their like physical tests. I'm like, wow, if the national team was existing when I was fighting amateur, I would be a fucking beast. No, that was just fun just hanging around with them. I have a couple of girls just coming in and visiting me and just helping me with training. Very cool. That was fun. Yeah, they're so good.
Well, I know you're ready to get back in the cage for yourself and not just training. I saw you calling for a fight with Miesha Tate. I thought that was pretty interesting. What was it about the fight with Miesha Tate that intrigues you? And is that still the one you're looking for?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we both lost to Rocky, right? And I mean, if you look at the ranking, there is nobody left than me and her that's not injured, been pregnant, are pregnant, waiting to deliver, injured, or already matched. So if you look at it, I mean, why not? And she just said no to Aspen Ladd. So I'm not seeing that many choices for her either.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, if she doesn't want to fight Aspen Ladd, I mean, I don't see any other girls out there. I mean, I don't see any other possibilities. If you can name one, of course. But I don't see anybody that she hasn't already fought or lost against or just won against. I don't know. But I just think it's a good match. I'm like, I'm like this. When I got into UFC, that was the goal of my life. Okay. But now when I'm there, I don't want to waste time. I mean, I just want to fight. I mean, I just turned 30. Maybe that's like a crisis thing, but I just feel like I want to fight. I just don't want to wait it out.
Yeah, I understand. So what do you think about her as an opponent? Obviously, she's, you know, former champ, a big name. But her last fight, she was a little flat in that fight as well, I think. So what do you think about her? Like, when you look at her, what do you see as an opponent?
I mean, I always respect my opponents, like, highest level, because this is what we're doing, is the highest level. But I've been a big fan of her for many years. I mean, I've been following her career. I feel that, I mean, if she when she came back, she said she wants to be champ. She just don't want to just fight once and just be done with it. But if you want to be champ, then you have to go through all of us that have been here when you went away, that worked our way up and everything. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, she's a bit of the old generation and I'm a bit of part of the new generation, but still like veteran. So I just think it will be a good matchup. And just like I said, she lost to Rocky as well. And I mean, I see it being a great step for me in this division. I feel that I can get back on track and erase my loss against Rocky when I win this fight. And then, I mean, she doesn't want to fight Aspen. I fight Aspen after I beat Miesha. No problem.
There you go. Got it all laid out. I like it. I like the idea. What, I guess, ideally, are you looking at a date on the calendar? Is there a time when you want to get booked? I mean, I imagine you don't want to sit around and wait for her if she's dragging her feet. So no. When do you want to fight?
March. And I heard she wants to fight in March as well. I mean, I'm planning it all out for her. It's all perfect. And for the matchmaker, so I don't know. And I mean, it's been a lot of talk about this Aspen thing, and I just think the focus has been, like, not on the right stuff. I mean, her focus has been on Aspen's the relationship, training. I'm like, forget about that. You don't want to fight her, fight me instead. I mean, I don't want to sit and, like, hear about, like, what people think about other people's relationship and fighting and coaches and everything. I just want to get this going, so.
I like it. A respectful call out. And as you said, it makes sense definitely. On the schedule, makes sense in the rankings. It just seems to make sense, right?
I mean, if it's in the States or if she wants to come to Europe, I don't think she ever fought in Europe, actually. And if it opens up, I mean, why not? But, I mean, I'm no... I'm always been fighting in States anyway, so I have no problems coming over. So
I was going to ask you, said March. I mean, we keep hearing about London. Obviously, the world can change in a second with everything that's going on. But if London happens, would that be ideal for you?
Yes. I mean, I can't wait to fight in Europe again. I'm just waiting for them to come back to Sweden. I have not fought in Sweden for the UFC yet, so.
We need to make that happen as well. Stockholm's a great place. The Ericsson Globe there, a beautiful facility.
I mean, we had some crazy fights there. I mean, imagine having Khamzat on the card, having me on the card, Hermansson and everybody else. So that will be ideal. But I will come to the States. That's fine.
Fantastic.
As long as she says yes.
I love it.
Well, we'll put it out twice there. Now. So twice. And this is number three now.
She's got to take it now.
Yeah, she's got to take it now. I mean, if you look at the rankings, you can't see anybody else, right? I mean,
not really.
If you look at the UFC, no. And if we're going to talk about the rankings, I think it's bullshit, though. The UFC ranking doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I think I actually thought about this, if we have time. I actually thought about this the other day when I was like driving or something. I was like, if you're not active within a year, I don't think... I think when it comes to the rankings, it's doesn't make sense because people can be not be active for years and it can still keep their spot, while other people are super active, but they don't really go nowhere. They don't go anywhere. So I just think there would be, it should be like a 1 year limit. If you're not active within a year, I don't think you should be able to go up. You should just be going down. But that's just my opinion. So
I guess ideal. What does this year look like for you? I mean, you fight in March. I mean, is this another year where you want to fight a bunch of times? I mean, you laid it out, Misha, Aspen, that'd be pretty successful. But what does this year look like for you?
No, I want a title fight after the Aspen fight. When I went over Misha and Aspen, I want a title fight. It's no other way. Like, I had a busy year, and I beat a lot of good opponents. And, yeah, I lost my last fight, but I still have a good record coming in for this year. And I just feel like with two wins over those two girls, that's a good – I mean, that's two good girls to win over to get a title fight. I mean, if Pina can get a fight over – a title fight over one win – I mean, I could get these wins and I could go for a title run. Absolutely. 2022. Why not?
I love it. All right, Panny. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully it starts with this Misha fight. Hopefully it happens in London. That'd be awesome to see it there. That'd be a great opportunity. Awesome. We'll see how it all plays out. In the meantime, we'll let you go back to your Rocky lifestyle. Any last messages for the fans out there that are waiting to see you get back in there?
No, nothing. Just thank you so much for following me, and please push for this fight so we can get another like European versus American fight on the card. And hoping to start this year like really good and positive, and hoping to get a really good year with good fights.
All right, that was Panny Kianset pushing for a fight with Misha Tate, which, look, I think it does make some sense. I think in our rankings at MMA Junkie, Panny is an honorable mention, and Misha is number 11 in the actual UFC rankings. It's 8 and 12, so I think it's a fight that does kind of make some sense. They both had some recent setbacks, so maybe a matchup that you put together. I should say, by the way, I was talking to her before we were doing that. Sheila's, like, apparently out in the middle of nowhere, which I think she mentioned it, you know, kind of this rocky lifestyle, but I thought it was a little bit interesting, too, that she was willing to do that. So, and the last thing I want to say on that, I'm going to use her criticism of the rankings to break a little news that I am joining the UFC rankings panel. So, beginning with the first event of 2022, I will begin being part of the rankings. So, all those people that now say the UFC rankings suck and make no sense, well, I will try to do my best to make sure that at least my vote makes sense. It was something the UFC had asked me to do. You know, I've been doing it for Bellator as well. I've been part of the rankings panel there, and so I don't see any reason to do it for Bellator and not to do it for the UFC as well. So the big difference is, of course, the UFC rankings are all published individually, I believe. So you'll all get to see my individual rankings. So I'm sure there'll be criticism and, oh, you suck and you're dumb.
More hate. But, yeah, more hate coming your way.
Bring it, bring it. Look, I've been doing this 15 years. If I'm not willing to give my thoughts on what the UFC's rankings should be and take criticism of them, then, you know, I need to be able to stand behind my opinion. So, yeah, starting with the new year, I'll be part of the UFC rankings panel. So, stay tuned for that. We'll see. I think there's some
Is that an invite-only sort of thing?
It is an invite-only thing. I think there's an invitation out to a couple other people on our staff as well. Whether or not they're going to accept, I don't know. But I do know that the UFC, they would like to get a bit more known commodities on the rankings. You know, you've seen some criticism over the years of the people that are doing the rankings, and I you know, they're certainly not going to be critical of the people that are doing it because I know they appreciate their time. But I think there's an effort behind the scenes there to maybe get a few more recognizable names in terms.
Well,
of
I should be looking in my mailbox soon.
It should be coming any minute now. It's got to be there. Maybe check your spam filter.
Yeah, maybe the spam filter. They're like, we're looking forward to the guy that's going to be like. Who's this?
Hey,
who's
former picks champion?
That's it.
I mean, I think that's what pushed. I think
that's what got you over the edge.
That's what pushed me over the edge. They saw the picks champion, and they were like, "Oh, even made Junkie Stat picks champ." Let's
I'm
get
glad
this
that
guy.
They pay close attention to the.
As soon as the final standings came out, I got a phone call. I won't say who it was, but they were like, "Hey, just saw the final standings. Congratulations on your staff picks victory. Clearly, you have done enough to prove to us." That you are worthy of being
Here's
on our
your invitation,
panel.
Sir.
So, yeah. So, I'm looking forward to casting my votes. And who knows? Maybe we'll get some more recognizable names in that pool of voters as well.
That's
so
awesome.
We'll see. Listen, a couple of things I just want to throw out real quick. The IMMAF celebrated its 10th anniversary recently. And I just wanted to say kudos to everybody that's involved over there, man. I to be honest with you, I wasn't sure how successful that organization would be when it was first launched. I wasn't sure if it was I was there for the launch of it. And they talked big plans. I mean, eventually, you know, they'd love to see MMA in the Olympics. I don't know if that'll ever happen or not, but they're working towards, you know, recognition in all these countries all over the world and developing this amazing amateur system. And it's so cool because, you know, now you're seeing these fighters that were amateur world champions through the IMMAF that are, you know, becoming notable professionals as well. And the experience that they gain there is amazing. So I just want to say kudos to all those people. It's something that happens a lot behind the scenes. We don't cover a lot of what they do. Obviously, they're dealing with amateur fighters, and so we don't cover a lot of what they do. I wish we could do more, to be honest with you, because I think it's deserving. But, you know, we just – bandwidth is bandwidth, but they.
I was
going to
say that you're going to be adding a whole lot more work.
It'd be tough, but I think they deserve some recognition. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, check this out. I got this email the other day, and it was from a PR firm here in Las Vegas that was pitching this, and I was not aware of this. And maybe here is the reason for the skyrocketing home prices here at Cold Coffee. But it says the pitch was. Las Vegas is offering sports fans their dream weekend in Las Vegas with an ultimate sports weekend from February 3rd to 6th. Now, check this out. On February 3rd, the East-West Shrine Bowl at Allegiant Stadium. Okay, that's fine. February 4th, the NHL All-Star Weekend is at T-Mobile Arena. February 5th is UFC Hermanson versus Strickland, so that made it on there. And February 6th is the Pro Bowl at Allegiant Stadium. Can you...
Yeah.
In one weekend, were you aware of that? The NHL All-Star Game and the NFL Pro Bowl?
I didn't know about the NHL one, but I knew that Allegiant has a bunch of stuff going forward. Like even
How
like
crazy is that?
It's pretty crazy, man.
To us
stuff.
Not even having professional sports other than the UFC here in Vegas, to now the NHL All-Star Weekend and the NFL Pro Bowl are going to be the same weekend here
well,
in
remember
Vegas.
They wanted to have the draft out here, and I think that was when we really – you could tell that we had got on the radar, and they were like, okay – you know, we're not worried about the whole gambling thing, you know, because for the longest time, it felt like they didn't want to touch Vegas because they thought that, oh, you know, with gambling going on, you know, it's just we don't want to go there because, you know, it gives the idea that we're behind on gambling, that we're, you know, whatever. But then when they start seeing that gambling's opening up everywhere, it's like might as well just embrace it, you know. Don't go to the – I mean, if you know what's the entertainment capital of the U.S., I mean, it's like why not go there? But, yeah, I mean, going forward – it's pretty sick, but I mean, I could use a few less events if it lowers the rents out here. But it is kind of cool to know that stuff is coming out here because
I can see like marching like less events, lower rent, less events, there it lower is. Rents.
Do we really care about the NHL?
I just thought that was cool, man. I mean, obviously, and it's cool. I gotta say, by the way, cool that the UFC is being included in there as well. To see mixed martial arts mentioned alongside the NFL, the NHL, you know, all that.
And this at a time
cool.
when like conventions have been pulling out from like Vegas. You know, I mean, like, you know, so I'm glad that you know some sporting things and some events are still like, hey, we're gonna keep pushing forward.
Right.
You know, because we saw what happened when things pulled out of Vegas. I mean, ooh, like this town,
we were hurting.
was hurting bad, bad, bad. You know, so every time you hear about, because it always makes the news when a convention shuts down here. And I know they were talking about CES, which is a huge one,
massive electronics.
You know, so if stuff like that starts pulling out of here, I mean, the economy here takes a big, big hit. You know, and as many as these other little things, I mean, they're just a drop in the bucket to some of these conventions and stuff. So, but hopefully things keep moving forward, and we realize that you know, COVID and things of that sort, it's going to be here forever. I mean, it's going to be here. Let's just learn to live with it, and let's keep this town open. Let's just keep moving forward. But no, that's cool. That is very, very cool. But
yes. I guess if you're a sports fan and you got some extra money in your pocket and you want to pick a weekend to come out and have a good time, even if you don't
and
go
be able to gamble. Well, and
I was going to say, even if
stuff.
You didn't go to the actual games themselves or whatever, like I don't know how hard it's going to be to get tickets. I can't imagine it'd be that hard to get tickets to, but. You know, even if you just want to come out, hang out, enjoy the energy, a little bit of tailgating, a little bit of partying down by T-Mobile.
You could always go to a sports book and it'll have it on.
They'll definitely have it on. So I thought that was pretty cool, man. That's good to see Vegas back strong. So
even the residencies, music-wise, are picking up as well, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels good. It feels like, you know, things are starting to happen. Because what was it the other day? Like, I think John... Bruno Mars was doing something for New Year's because I think he has a residency. Katy Perry was doing something. I don't know if John Legend had something, but I was just like, fuck yeah, man.
Coming
like,
back, man.
It's coming back, man. I'm just so happy that things are starting to just get back to normal. Yeah, I mean, more the merrier, man. Bring it on.
I dig it. All right, listen, one last announcement I want to make. In case you didn't see it, just something to put on your calendar. Next Wednesday, January 12th, Invicta FC 45 will actually be streaming live.
Where's that?
Through the MMA Junkie YouTube channel. You can see it on YouTube. Of course, we'll have a player hosted on MMA Junkie. But I know that you're involved behind the scenes and getting that produced and ready to go. But pretty cool, right? I mean, partnering with Invicta.
I love Invicta.
I do too. And we're going to get to stream it directly on our YouTube channel.
I know that they've changed a bit, you know, but it's still Invicta and its core principles of what they're doing, you know, and putting a spotlight on females MMA. I mean, there's nobody better at what they did before the UFC ever got their act together and put a spotlight on female fighters. Invicta was the ones doing it. Man, I was so happy. I made a couple trips to Kansas City to watch events. And I loved it. I've always loved it. And so I'm super proud and happy that we're actually doing something with them. I think it's fantastic. And every spotlight, you know. And it's funny, you know, that's why I first saw Laura Senko.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what she's doing now. Like, a lot of people now just only know her as for what she's doing now. I think a lot of people forget that she used to fight, you know. And let alone some of these other studs that have come through Invicta, man. They're top-notch fighters. A lot of the great, great fighters that are making their way into the UFC that people, if they don't know where they came from Invicta. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we're getting to do something with them and put it on our YouTube channel, I'm so super stoked.
Pretty cool.
I'm not sure how it came about, but I'm very, very happy that it did.
Very happy that it happened, for sure.
It's pretty cool.
I want to make sure you guys are aware of that. Something to tune in on a Wednesday night. Because, listen, enjoy this last weekend of slow combat sports, no major events, because it kicks back up next week. Just next week alone, Invicta FC 45, ONE Championship, LFA, KSW, and, of course, UFC on ESPN 32, which you and I will be covering at the UFC Apex. So enjoy this one last weekend of peace on earth and goodwill to men and all that. And then,
because next week is...
Yeah, I know what you want to say, man. But we're looking forward to it. We need
it
fights.
Cool.
We need fights. So enjoy the peaceful weekend. And, of course, as always, thanks for listening.
Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.